That's how a conspiracy works. Them boys on the grassy knoll, they were dead within 3 hours. Buried in the damn desert, unmarked graves out past Turralingua.
And you know this for a fact?
Still got the shovel.
Catapult the propaganda. The truth is out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
Highly funded yet unofficial government agency. Take the red pill.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert, flying the plane solo tonight as Sharon is a little under the weather. But we've got plenty to entertain your mind for the next hour or so as we have the opportunity to talk with one of our favorite guys, a man who's been at this a lot longer than Sharon and I, and a guy whose show introduced us to some of our favorite guests like Russ Dizdar and Peter Lavenda, formerly the host of The Grassy Knoll from The Grassy Knoll, now Beyond The Grassy Knoll. We welcome to PID Radio the one and only Visigoth. Viz, how are you?
It's great. I had a laugh because with the prepositions that I've changed, you know, from to beyond,
mm-hmm.
when Jack Blood had me on once to he was in trouble, so he called me up and asked me if I could step in. And I did bring in Pat Anderson at the time, who was the lawyer for Terry Schiavo.
Right.
And I mean, it was really a very good interview, and I was happy that Pat could come on. But, you know, poor Jack, every time he brought me on, it was like, well, here's from inside the grassy knoll and around the grassy knoll. Like he got everything but the right pronoun, you know.
Yeah.
So a preposition, rather. So it's, I'm laughing because it's like, well, you do it to yourself, you know.
Well, that's true. But, I was really glad to see at the beginning of the year that you had opted to continue on. I know we talked privately at one point about the need to step away from it for a little while. And we've done that a couple of times now during the course of PID Radio, where Sharon and I just felt a need to step back and recharge for a little bit. So glad to see that you're back. I will say that, in fact, I was going to say this, and I just looking at your website now, I see that that's, again, my information's already out of date. I was going to say Friday nights haven't been the same since you stopped doing the live call-in show, and I see that thanks to Blog Talk Radio, you're back doing a live Friday night show. Is that right?
No, it's only going to be monthly.
Okay.
One of the stipulations I place on myself is that to come back, I can't do what I did before. It was just too much. But I wanted to do something, and I wanted to keep it like once a month at least just to talk to folks. Because that's the one thing we lost, you know, Derek, in the days when we were on the AM station, so we had the 800 numbers. That was the nicest. That's when it was running at its best. And we've not been able to talk to folks ever since that all went down. So this gives us another opportunity. Now, it may morph into something else. I don't know. But right now I'm looking at just about one shot a month, and that would be the last Friday. In any month.
Okay, so the upcoming show on the 28th is looks like an interesting show. You've got the Mothman's photographer back, and a program called "They Lost Their Brains in 2007," and that
you're not on the list.
Okay, well that's good. I just wanted to make that clear. But it seems let's use that as a jumping off point for the hour here, because it does seem like a lot of people did, in fact, lose their minds in 2007. But, you know, with each passing year, it looks like the world is getting crazier and crazier. Either that or we are just going sane in a crazy world. I'm not sure. But you look, for example, at the political scene where, say, John McCain, after the introduction of the Immigration Reform Act that he helped champion with Ted Kennedy. It looked like his political career was dead, and now suddenly he's risen from the ashes like Phoenix, or like the Phoenix.
That's in his district, isn't it?
Yes, it is, interestingly. And, you know, somebody wrote, if pro wrestling looked this fake, nobody would watch.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, I credit that where it's due. That was Vox Day, the WorldNet Daily commentator. How did John McCain get from there to here? Is this evidence of something being rigged behind the scenes? I mean, are the conspiracy theorists right about the American political system? Is it a rigged game?
Well, I mean, it's not only McCain on one side, but, I mean, it's this whole Obama-Hillary on the other. I mean, to me, all this has always been a horse race that's been scripted so that people would get into it and really think it's a real deal. And they certainly do. It seems funny to me. I mean, I stopped voting in 2000. That was the last presidential election I ever voted in, and then I got it. But, I got sucked into the whole thing. You know, you vote for a president, you expect change, you get none. you forget all about it next 4 years, right? And then you vote again, you expect change, you get none. I mean, honestly, the whole thing is so crazy. So, okay, be that as it may, people still kick in every 4 years and get this, you know, fever up. And you look at McCain, yeah, I mean, you know, to me, he's a joke. I mean, he's always been a joke. I don't even know how in the world he rose up above Mitt Romney, who, if you would take a look at somebody who would be, what would you call it, a prototypical presidential figure, it would be Romney.
Well, for the television era especially.
Oh, sure. Oh, without a doubt. Be that, yeah, exactly.
I mean,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so somehow he steps down, and, you know, Chipmunkshakes gets in there, and, you know, I don't have a clue. I mean, I have no idea how this is going on, and like that individual said. I mean, it's crazy, but to me, it is something where it's like a soap opera. It keeps people glued to it, that they think it's really real. And they'll go in and they'll vote and they'll take whatever they get and they'll not be served for another 4 years.
There was an interesting column that I read today linked to by the Dallas Morning News columnist Rod Dreher. And this was a piece written in 2004 for the Bush-Kerry election, which essentially said the correct vote this time around is none of the above. Because it's not that either candidate is giving the wrong answers to the questions. It's that they're answering the wrong questions. And I thought that was really perceptive. How do you see the political system? Is it, again, is it a rigged game where we're being told that we've got a choice when, in fact, we don't really have one?
Of course it's rigged. I mean, I don't know if we ever spoke about this. I did a couple of times. But I think this is pretty emblematic of what's going on. When I was looking for something, I was going through the New York Times microfilm. And in 1946, I came upon a speech by Truman in which he decried the lack of affordable health care. I could just stop right there and you know where I'm going.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so here we are, what, 60 years later, and the Democrats are still, you know, yada-yadding for affordable health care. The Republicans are still yada-yadding about frugal fiscal spending, smaller government. And what do we have? Spending out of control, and a massively expanded central government, and no affordable health care. So that's my point, that, you know, people get up there and they get behind these slogans and, you know, yeah, you know, and whatever happens, nothing. And I don't know how they do it. I mean, they got to understand somewhere out there that nothing ever changes except that it gets worse. And of course, you know, these characters are selected. I mean, this whole thing with Hillary and Obama is interesting because I keep asking myself, you know, they reinvented her, spent a lot of time, you know, made her, you know, a senator in another state, which is not unknown to guys like Kennedy and the Bushes. You know, and so – now we look her, you know, at her supposedly in death throes. But to me, you know, they didn't do that for anything. So, I mean, are we going to go into the convention and she's going to rise like McCain from the ashes, another phoenix,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a comeback kid and all this other stuff? Who knows? But, yeah, no matter what happens, no matter who's in that Oval Office, you know that there's an agenda that continues that we can look at through our lives and realize it can, you know, it just gets advanced. And who are the big losers? You know, me, all of us in the United States.
Now you say an agenda that's being advanced. Are you talking about agenda for the particular political parties or something more?
Oh, I mean, Democrats play the Democrat role. The Republicans play the Republican role. They are different. You know, one has to say this, one has to say that. Like I said, the health care and the, you know, smaller government, blah, blah, blah. But in the end, yeah, of course. I mean, it's like we've always heard about when we were younger about this unseen hand, and our you know, our parents and adults, when they would get together, would talk about, oh, you know, things like the unseen hand just keeps moving. And they were somewhat kidding, but they were absolutely right. So what I'm referring to is that when I look at what runs America, it's plugged into an international scheme, and that would be from the robber barons who basically wrested control of this country in the early part of the 20th century, guys like Morgan and Carnegie and Rockefeller, and are plugged into a greater financial situation, and that's who runs things. And, I mean, when you look at what, when they took control, you know, right around the time that Teddy Roosevelt was president, I'm sure Roosevelt knew that if you run afoul of the people who want to have certain things happen, you get shot. And I know this is kind of rambling, but when you take a look at when Roosevelt came into office, I mean, he had already seen two presidents killed. That was Garfield and McKinley.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 years before that was Lincoln. I mean, these are all coincidences. So, I mean, there's always been, I guess some kind of, like, struggle for control of the United States as the last republic that needed to be brought into tow, and it certainly was. And from that point onward, and you got the inception of the Council on Foreign Relations in 21, again, incepted by whom? The Rockefellers. There you go. And that's what runs things.
No, you know, and I don't think you're rambling at all. I think this is, gets right to the heart of the work that you do and what we try to do, in, you know, see the bigger picture and look at the patterns rather than getting caught up in the day-to-day horse race or the ballot bowl or whatever name that the cable news networks want to apply to it. For people who may not be up to speed, when you say the control was wrested from the American government back in the early part of the 20th century, the robber barons, who specifically are you talking about?
Well, I mean, anybody can go back and do the research, and I would definitely point out to a book I think that is excellent called Foundations, Their Power and Influence by Renee Wormser, who was a counsel for one of the two committees. He was involved with both, and I'm not going to worry about which one I got right, but we're looking at the Reese and the Cox commissions back in the early 50s when they were, when actually I guess there was some remnant of representatives who actually did care about the United States, and they were wondering how these tax-exempt foundations got so much done and why they weren't putting a check. And so what we're looking at, as I kind of alluded to before, it's the robber baron families. When people say, how can a conspiracy be so big and nobody know about it? Well, it's easy. First of all, corner the money, get untold wealth, buy out information outlets. At that time, it was just newspapers, and then, of course, it went on to radio and TV. And then also buy out the government so you don't have to bribe them anymore. And then once you have the government, you can avail yourself of their armies, and you can make them do what you want them to do. And there it is right there. So it's the characters like the Rockefellers and such, and, you know, I can't state anymore. I mean, it's robber baron families. They hooked up with the Rothschilds, the eminent banking family in the world, perhaps, certainly in Europe. And it was like, look, we want a world order. We're going to get it. And, you know, they're off and on their way. And, of course, you know, I won't get into it now because that's another whole can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
But the other prong, which I think, obviously, in scriptural terms, is easy to understand. But the Vatican is a front also, just like D.C. is for us. But behind that, you know, what I say looms is the prophesied satanic takeover of this world. So what I mean is there's a lot of people who can swallow the NWO on a secular level and get that, and they're fine with that, and they realize they're going for world government. And then I'm asking Christians and other people who believe on the Bible that, yes, well, you know what this is congruous with? Yes, it's Satan's prophesied takeover, which is not going to work, but it's going to get real nasty until that time. And I overlay them together, and to me, that's the name of the deal.
How do you get Christians who've been taught for the last, well, gosh, you know, ever since the Reagan Revolution, that voting Republican is the 11th commandment?
Well, you know what? It's interesting. I mean, Republicans have always curried favor with evangelists, and that seems to be some kind of like strange, you know, connection, which I'm not really sure how it started. But of course, the Democrats were always seen as being liberal, and you know.
Well, at least since the late '60s. I mean, you know, you go back far enough, and you've got Democrats who are talking like Republicans today in terms of their you know, belief in God and you know, openly appealing to God's mercy and justice. I mean, you go back a few decades, and you know, icons of the Democratic Party like JFK and FDR were very open in talking about you know, faith in God and a belief in God. You know, things that would have kept them from the national ticket today. But you're right. For the last generation or so, that's certainly been the case.
Well, I mean, in '80, I remember. I mean, you know, I got saved in '81, and I remember Reagan being, you know, trumpeted as being a Christian, and he had a dog-eared, pen-marked Bible by his bed. That was all hoopla. You can't be a president, and you can't aspire to be one and be a Christian, because you have to do too many things that are absolutely antithetical to Christianity. But, you know, the Republicans took the high ground on this, and, of course, Reagan was promoted as such. Daddy Bush was promoted as such. Oh, make me want to hurl. Now we got Bush, and, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at a transcript of when a little shrub was on Good Morning America, and, I mean, when he was allowed to actually talk on his feet about Christianity, he blew it. I mean, any little Sunday school kid would know that what he said was complete heresy, if you want to call me out on that. I have it right here, but I mean...
No, we've talked about it many times, and he's done it more than once.
Oh, jeez. I mean, he has no clue.
Mm-hmm.
He has no clue talking about, oh, yeah, we all go to heaven, you know, Allah and all... Oh, geez,
we all
right,
believe so, in the same God, sure.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
You got it. And but the fact that what I can't understand is how Christians don't use discernment in the sense of, They, you know, again, they affix all this like integrity and character and honesty to news outlets, the alphabet networks, and never thinking once that, one, you have no idea who these people are, you have no idea about the industry, and you take what they say to you as quote, gospel. I mean, why? you're being lied to, and you don't even for once say, why should I believe these people? I mean, is this written in the scripture, thou shalt believe CNN, Fox, and the rest? Unbelievable. And I mean, how do you deprogram them? I don't know, because it's a real tough run. I mean, my in-laws had I had an opportunity to sit down with them because, you know, obviously we have some kind of a propinquity. And we went through it. I'm going, well, take a look. They were willing to sit and listen. But how many people out there, if you went to them with this information, would get actually very, very upset with you? And I just had an incident not too long ago where people are like, you know, pounding their fists against the government, blah, blah, blah. We know the USDA stinks and the FDA stinks, and da-da-da, and vaccination. And I said, well, your whole government stinks, and what in the world are you doing with Ron Paul? That's another whole thing. And, man, you talk about a pair of rabid dogs, you know, turning on me. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I have no idea. Those who would be duped want to be duped, and they will in this time to come, that's for sure.
Yeah, and boy, you know, we're looking forward to a number of shows here where we get into some of those aspects of the deception within the Christian church, and maybe we can touch on that here over the next 45 minutes or so. But that's the enemy that you don't know, and that's the frustrating one. Now, you mentioned a name there that was bandied about for the better part of 2006 and 2007 as the guy who was going to save us from all of this, and Sharon and I caught a little bit of criticism from people, and we've not talked a lot about him because we bring up the politics on PID as insofar as it relates to the prophetic one world government, but we don't want to turn it into a show talking about specific political things. There's more than enough of that out there for that. But you mentioned Ron Paul. Why was he trumpeted? Why was he hailed as the one guy, the one man who could save us from the impending New World Order?
I mean, that's a great question because I can't figure out why he was. Now, people, I mean, and I've gone back and forth with Christians who send me emails. If you're going to send me emails about how great Ron Paul is and how easy he answered, then we got some issues. And I email him back, and we go back and forth, and they get upset with me because I'm trenchant about it. But it's like, well, I'm sorry, man. That's what I believe in. Human government, and we've talked about this off the mic. Human government and human law is something that you get when you decide you don't want God's law. Okay, so once you say, okay, look, we're not going to live under you, you get what you get. And whatever fills that void in is going to be human-made and bound for corruption. Al Ron Paul came on the scene and suddenly got some, you know, people say he was ostracized from some debates. But I never saw any candidates who you would call like a little different, a little bit, you know, contrary to ordinary in the Republican Party, got as much airtime as he did. Kucinich got nothing that Ron Paul got, but I saw in the last year. And I don't know how he merited that as far as in the eyes of the alphabet networks. Now you got Alex Jones who flipped all of a sudden from the government stinks, you can't do anything with them, which is true, and whoever's in there is a puppet, which is true. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden he comes out and Ron Paul's the answer in, quote, the last chance for America.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, so who got to you, Alex, to do this? Now, he did get on the air, and he did whack the Fed on C-SPAN. He said some good things, there's no doubt about it, but he also had two sets of answers prepared for when he was asked similar questions both on Jones' show and on Fox, which I did a show on and taped them. So he's talking out of both sides of his neck. But how he got ordained to be this, like, yeah, here's our last chance, I don't know. However, there are people, I will agree, who did not hear some of the issues that he spoke to before he was on. In other words, a lot of people think that the Fed is a federal institution and the government made it and they really care about us. And by the way, keep your heads up because the Fed now is making a move to be an investigative enforcement branch that will whack the SEC if they should ever do something wrong. I mean, this to me is, well, as one email was written to me, it's game, set, match.
Now, we're going to talk about that in a minute. I do want to get into that. Yeah. But right, the logical disconnect around the Ron Paul candidacy among the Patriot news outlets was a little bit surprising to me. As you mentioned, there's been a long history of trashing the federal government and that everybody who's in the Oval Office is essentially a tool of, you know, name your favorite group, whether it's the international banksters or whomever, to suddenly Ron Paul is going to save it. Well, how is he going to have any more freedom to get anything done, especially without the support of the party behind him, then the appointed nominee, John McCain, or whoever else gets into the office. That didn't make any sense. The other thing I wondered about was the fundraising efforts that he was apparently very successful at. How did he raise more money than anyone else in the Republican side except Romney, who contributed his own cash, and McCain?
Are you aware that they're going for another one in April?
No.
Around Patriots Day? Oh, yeah. This is the last email I got before I told the moderator, get me out of here. Beam me up, Scotty, because I'm going to hurl if I see this. And he told me, he goes, well, that's probably good because a lot of people backdoored ask for your elimination. And I said, well, that's wonderful, because isn't it interesting that those people who are aware of fascism and totalitarianism, when they are confronted with unpleasant or uncomfortable speech, which I, by the way, backed up with documents when they did stuff, they want to gas me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's just beautiful. You don't like it? Get rid of the person. And these are people who are supposedly Christians and on our side. Oh, are we in trouble? How do you get the money? I have no idea, except it just isn't just little giving. There's no two ways about it. You can go onto his website and find out, you know, just who gave. And, of course, it's smoke and mirrors, too, because you don't know how many companies can give under different titles or different names. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
But this isn't like, you know, Molly, what's-her-face in Texas giving $5, all right? Let's get that straight. So, anyway, they're going to have another money bomb, which I think is just wonderful terminology, to get him back in. And, I mean, like, he's still running. I mean, you know, who's ever thought about Ron Paul in the last month? It's like, forget about it. And I still think he's going to be used as a third-party candidate if they're a little worried about who's going to win the election. If it goes to a Democrat and it looks pretty good, you know, they don't have to put a third party in to siphon votes away from, in this case, McCain.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's going to be a third party. And this guy, to me, is, you know, again, he's another tool, says good things, looks really, you know, father knows best-ish, and that's great. But he's just another politician with, you know, with more mouths and chins.
Well, he may... He may honestly believe what he's saying, but I think the key takeaway is that he's not going to have any more latitude to do any of the things that he's talking about than anyone else who gets into the White House, because ultimately there are people pulling strings. Getting back to the money issue, the banksters and with the creation of the Federal Reserve and essentially take control over the direction of the country back in the early part of the 20th century. Currently, we are facing what amounts to a meltdown of the banking system, because the investment bankers and the bond traders managed to suck many Americans into their scheme of gambling on real estate.
Yeah.
I mean, they might as well have just taken the money and gone to Vegas. That's, in effect, what they did.
Yeah, they did.
I read a statistic that was astounding. The amount of the dollar value of financial instruments that was traded in the fourth quarter of 2007 was something like $510 trillion. That's about 10 times more money than the combined gross domestic product of every country in the world combined. Okay, that's how much money these guys are trading back and forth, betting on our homes, basically, real estate. So the question I have now is, if these guys are losing their shirts, or at least that's how it's being reported to us, you know, Citicorp, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, going to the Middle Eastern oil sheiks and begging for dollars, petrodollars, to keep them, keep them open, keep them in business. Who benefits then from this massive devaluation of American real estate, the investments that derive from that, and the U.S. dollar? Who is the winner here?
You have to realize, I think, that who's going to orchestrate? Who's orchestrating this, and who's also orchestrating a third world war? Again, are those who are power brokers, like I said, like the robber barons here, like the Rothschilds in Europe, and their reach has gone into China, which everyone thinks is like untouchable. But I mean, you know, remember Standard Oil was in there at the beginning of the 20th century. So that nobody's really, I mean, Harry and I, my former partner, you know, who started the show with me, and I used to talk about this all the time. We said, you know, could there be a rogue 700-pound gorilla on the earth? And we're like, well, if they're into the bankers, probably not. And that goes for China too. They know the handshake. They know what's going on. So who benefits? I mean, they do eventually, because what it'll do is it'll bring everybody down to their knees. They're going to be in we're going to be in such distress that we're going to look for someone or something or some institution that's going to be able to say, look, this is going to be safe. This is going to be good. There'll be no more wars. There'll be no more volatility in banking. You know, what we're looking at, and I'm sorry, you know, because everybody thinks communism died. It did not die. I mean, you know, it's exactly what we're going through. I mean, when you talk about monopoly capitalism and such, I mean, it's capitalism without competition, it's communism. It's a planned economy, and that's what they're going to purport as being the answer to all our woes. So they're the ones that, again, benefit by all this. And one of the things that has to be done is for the United States to be absolutely sucked dry of everything that it has going for themselves in the famous redistribution of wealth that we've always associated with, you know, Marxism or communism, whatever you want. And Marx did not write the Communist Manifesto. Are you serious? I mean, this is all banker stuff. We've had three kinds of economic systems. We've had socialism, communism, and capitalism. They've all been, you know, they're like plates being spun, and they've all been devised by those who have been in control of the money for a long, long time. And this goes back to Babylon. And right now, we're to a point where we're seeing a melding of it. But seriously, in this country, we're being looted left, right, and middle. And this has been happening since the 70s with all this outsourcing of industry and manufacture. And now they're coming for the whole nine yards and the last drop of blood we have economically. And it's going to bring people to their knees. And they're going to be very malleable and pliable and accepting of whatever you can give them, that this never has to happen again.
Well, you mentioned something earlier about the Fed, which is not a federal, institution, number one, and has no reserves, number two, proposing broad new powers to control banking and investment houses, investment banks like Bear Stearns. And I think it's significant, by the way, that the Fed is opening its discount window, is now making loans to investment banks like Bear Stearns for the first time since the Great Depression. What does this entail? I've read some. What is the net result of this? I've read a couple of columns in British papers suggesting that this is the United States government nationalizing its bigger banks. But as we both know, the Fed is not owned by the United States government. It's privately owned. What's going on here? What are they trying to do?
But do you realize how many Americans think that it is?
Oh, most people do. Sure, absolutely.
And what's
hey,
more
it's got a .gov website, so it must be part of the government.
Yeah, it must be. Woo-hoo. But I mean, folks should go into the. I mean, I did this, and people should do this. They should go in and they know somebody, you know, who maybe is a loan manager or maybe the branch manager. Go in and say, did you realize that the Federal Reserve is not a federal institution? They don't know. I did it down here. And, I mean, it's amazing. I did it. There were three branches. I went into each one, and I said, you know, by the way, did you know? And they're like, no. And they looked at me like, okay, this guy's got seven heads. And it's like, fine, it's fine. And I just, you know, I left. And they don't know. Even people in the banks don't know. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I mean, can you talk about a conspiracy? How in the world could you have that gigantic monolith flop right in this country back in, what, 1913, and nobody has a clue that it's a private bank that hooks back into, obviously, the old world banking of Europe. I mean, what do we do in the United States with the revolution? We throw off the king for what? We get hooked right back into the system after it was over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, what you have now is you have the Fed now setting itself up as the sheriff. And they're going to look after all those bad institutions like the Security and Exchange Commission, all that. This is the complete lockup of everything. I mean, whatever the SEC did or didn't do, fine. But now you've got the Fed trying to police itself and everything else. Boy, I tell you, that is some true monolith that you're not going to be able to crack. So, I mean, this is just ironic to me. That the beast that has actually siphoned our blood off for almost now a century, and it will be in another 5 years, is now being set up as like the panacea for all our problems. It's man, you talk about slavery. Holy Toledo.
So the goal, you think, as you see it, is to create a situation in which Americans are so desperate that we'll accept almost any measure of control as long as they promise to leave us free right. To watch TV and drink beer and not be bothered.
But, you know, even those who are astute, even those folks who think that they're really informed, and there's a lot of them out there, and I understand it. Well, I heard on Fox, or I heard on CNBC, or I heard on it. You know, they actually believe they're very fully informed, and they are, but it's all propaganda. But those folks are there and trying to sort this all out, and I'm sure they're very earnest about it without any inclination on what's going on. And they're believing that if you can deliver the cavalry, if you can bring somebody down in a white hat that will tell us that we'll fix this thing up, don't you worry about it. They will give it all over and say, yeah, do it. Not like they could stop it anyway. But that's what they're, you know, portraying the Fed as, is we'll come in and we'll take care of the whole thing, don't you worry about it. And they'll say, yeah, go ahead. And, of course, then the trap is fully sprung. So, you know, I mean...
Well, this gets back to the Hegelian dialectic. Again, not giving wrong answers to the questions, but answering the wrong questions. We're being essentially presented a choice of, do you want central government planning to control every aspect of your life, or do you want to turn all aspects of your life over to the corporate oligarchs for them to control everything? It's a choice between fascism and communism.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, the way they've got it set up, even people who are well-meaning will fall into the trap. There's no two ways about it. And really, there is nowhere else to go. Patriots want to, like, you know, line up for, like, some final battle. It's not going to happen. I mean, you don't have to fire a shot. I mean, financially, what we're seeing right now is bringing people to their knees. They're in no position to want to, you know, well, eventually you might get a situation where they do get crazy, they do get nihilist because, you know, they're absolutely ruined, and that's another whole story. But, I mean, I've been emailing with people whom I respect, and we've been talking about what's going on. And we're saying, you know, this isn't any little temporary two-year decline in the stock market and such. This time they're coming for us. You know, there'll be no bouncing back again. And I find it very interesting, too, that in all the websites and the little bits on a Today Show and stuff, they make sure they tell everybody, don't pull your money out. You know, don't go ahead and just pull cash out. Mm-hmm. Well, why are you saying that, folks? And, I mean, Cramer's a great example of this, Derek. I mean, 3 days before, you know, Bear Stearns took it in the tubes, he said, well, keep your money in Bear Stearns. It's okay. It'll be safe. 3 days later, bang, okay? So what does the Today Show do? The Today Show brings it back out again, and he goes on and on and on. He goes, well, you know, keep your money in the bank. It's safe. You know, the FDIC has got it. Folks, if you think the FDIC has got your back, you are out of your mind. It's a government institution. Lord knows what they did with that thing. And if you think it's okay, then you go ahead. But, Derek, I mean, I did this a long time ago after being beaten to death 3 times in the stock market doing mutual funds. Mm-hmm. Long before 87, I said to Lady Biz, look, I've had it. Oh, it's a great buying opportunity every time the market gets crashed. Sure it is. But if you don't get your money out in the years that go on before they crash it again, who gives a crap if it's a good buying opportunity? Mm-hmm. So we got out. We got out. We bid farewell to the government. You know, we put it in cash. We put it in gold and silver. That's the way we decided. We sold a couple of years ago our home. That ain't looking like a bad idea either since what happened to American equity.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, that was simply, you know, we wanted to get out. Now I'm like, you know, that wasn't a really bad idea at all. So we're just trying to float atop a sea. It's very, very tempestuous, but we're not in a bad situation. But I'm not, you know, screw mutual funds. That was a scam. We were very prudent savers, and they took advantage of us 3 times around. Now, when is it finally shame on us?
Mm-hmm.
I think folks have to take a look at that. We do not put money in the 401ks anymore, because my feeling is this, and that's what we decided after a number of days of discussion. Do you believe that they'll crash the market? The answer was yes. You believe that any of the money that we put into 401k or pensions will be there for us? The answer was no. All right, then, let's pull it out, mm-hmm. bite the bullet, and see what happens. And that's the attack we've had for the last 4 years.
And, you know, every time you do that, though, people look at you like you're absolutely crazy because you're running completely 180 degrees opposed to conventional wisdom.
Well, conventional wisdom is lies. Yeah, so right. But, I mean, as long as people can hug the TV and be told, like, by liars, by Cramer, and the rest of those cats, that it's okay, they'll sit there, and I understand why they would trust them. But, you know, what's been lost in America, if not the world, is the ability to sit down and critically analyze stuff and do not treat the media like they're your friend. Just take it as a source of information and sit back and say, look, what is the reality we've been living through? What are these cats telling us on TV and on the radio and newspapers? If people were to do that, they know they're being lied to. And it's the same thing with the presidential elections. You vote for a candidate, doesn't happen, you know, nothing happens that they say will happen. And then 4 years later, you vote for another candidate, you know, but they won't do it. They need something to hang on to. They can't deal with it. They feel like they're out there alone. But that's going to be ultimately the seeds of their destruction as well. And, you know, hey, you know, don't let the door hit you in the rear end.
Well, you make an excellent point. And that's one of the reasons that Sharon and I first, I guess, when we stumbled onto your show, and to be honest, Viz, I don't even remember how we found From the Grassy Knoll originally. But,
Meh,
oh, you mean how you stumbled into doing it, huh? But that was one of the things that struck us, is that you were looking at these things critically and not following where the mainstream media led, but also not following where a lot of alarmists out there led.
In the Patriot community?
In the Patriot community.
Yes.
Do you find that there's a dangerous current out there in the Patriot community that's either spreading disinfo or is just addicted to the adrenaline rush of just searching for bad news and propagating it throughout the web?
Both. And I'll tell you, honestly, I had a discussion with an insider from RBN with connections too that came out of RBN to start their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not RBN. It's GCN also. But it's not only just the networks. It's those hosts that lend themselves to this kind of thing. If they're going to be on, let's say, 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, you've got to keep it going, and you've got to keep the ember stoked. And what it comes down to is that they go ahead and they create situations that never happened. And I'm going to say it. I mean, it's your show. If anybody's got a problem, you go email me. But, I mean, I had a laugh. I got an email from somebody like 3 years after I stopped listening to GCN. And the individual was a former military guy, and he said, well, Joyce is talking about this chatter at the Pentagon. Do you know how many times I've heard Joyce and Dave talk about chatter at the Pentagon and nothing ever happens?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets all fired up. They're waiting for something to happen. Is there going to be a coup in the military, which has never happened, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes to Wayne Matz and some of these other idiots. And they hang next to the radio. It's like a soap opera. And they can't wait for next week or tomorrow.
Tune in again when Little Orphan Annie says, yeah, it's the cliffhanger.
So, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, they're doing it. You know why? Because they want to make money. They want to make money because this is their gig. They do it because they want to make a living off it. They don't want to drive a forklift. They don't want to drive a truck. They don't want any heavy lifting in their lives. And they're doing this. Now, the other thing that's interesting about all this, and this goes with Jones too, I mean, they have to create some kind of near catastrophe every week. Otherwise, I can't get people in there. But here's the other interesting thing, and this is what I'm going for. Both GCN and RBN know that Patriot listeners are extremely tight-butted about buying anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will confess, I bought a Berkey, I bought a colloidal silver generator, mm-hmm. and I'm really happy with them, and they're still alive to this day. How many Berkeys and colloidal silver generators can you buy in a lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
So even if you do buy or go into what they promote, how often can you do it? So here's my point. They're being kept a prop by what? By whom? Whose money? And that's what I want to get in back of.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, who is funding this stuff? Because it isn't Johnny Lunchbucket across America. But in the meantime, they've got let's call it what it is. I was addicted to listening to GCN, and by the time RBN broke away, I kind of was off the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was part of my workday. They were my, quote, friends.
Mm-hmm.
As I sat at my desk and had my computer on, I was with them from 8 in the morning to like 5 in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and then I went home from another dose from it. It's very intriguing. I remember it all so well. But when it started getting a little strange, that's when I had to say to myself, as much as they are, quote, my internet friends, I'm not being told the truth, and now I got a real problem with these characters. And what people have to know is, this is about money first and truth later. Money changes everything, and it has done that with GCN and RBN. And if I get to where I'm going with this whole thing,
mm-hmm.
it's to show folks that you're being lied to for the purpose of a number of people, and a small number of people, obviously, making money. So we'll see where this goes. I'm not blowing smoke. I'm not saying much more about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if certain people come on who say, well, they will come on, or at least will give me an interview, which I'll have to go ahead and, relay the details because they won't want to come on in person.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What's the problem is, what has broken my heart is that I understand they're liars on the other side of the street, but when there were liars on this side of the street, that was pretty tough to take. But then I realized it's still a game, it's still about money, and we're the fools, honestly, in the end.
Well, the best way to destroy a movement is from within, and it's the same in the media as it was in religion, when a few enterprising souls realized that they could make a pretty good living by peddling to men's souls. And once the Emperor Constantine opened the floodgates, made it legal, and then Theodosius made it the official religion of the Roman Empire, began to rot from the inside out. And probably even before that. I know that you read the New Testament, you see that the apostles were already trying to weed out corruption that had entered into the church, back before the end of the first century. So it's, same as it ever was. And it just comes down to using the discernment skills that God gave us to try to weed out truth from lie. So I guess it really shouldn't be a surprise that that element is working within the Patriot community and within the so-called independent news media. But you're right, Viz, it does hurt. And, you know, I say this as somebody who, you know, swore I wouldn't be fooled again after Bill Clinton shook his finger at me and looked at me through the TV and said I did not have sex with that woman. And then I voted for George W. Bush twice. So, you know. I'm finally
you got screwed too.
Yeah. I'm that's right. I'm catching on, but I'm a little younger than you, a little more naive, I guess. So
I voted for Nader. What a dummy I was. You got to remember, you know, when they stole the election here, we were going into the voting thing, and you know, people had signs up for Bush and people had signs up for Gore. I mean, I could not vote for Gore. I'd rather vote for me. Mm-hmm. And I went in there, I'm going, bang, I voted for Nader, and I go to my wife as I leave. I'm going, oh, this probably won't have any impact on the election. And, of course, it's like, well, Bush won by 5 votes. Like,
You're the guy. You're the guy.
I'm the guy. My wife and I went in there, and we threw the whole thing to Georgie. But when we went home, you know, and I mean, I'll make this digression quick. When we went home, and I'm sitting there just watching the results, and Brokaw stopped and went, and they had given Florida to the Democrats, he went, hold on, wait a second. And I'm like, I've never seen that in my life. And, of course, the rest, obviously, is history.
Uh-huh.
And they did the same thing in 2004 in Ohio. And there's another whole thing that happened down here with Mel Martinez and Betty Castor.
Mm-hmm.
When I was up all night and I watched two people give acceptance speeches, but that's another whole thing. So, I mean, you know, that's the last time I voted, because then afterwards I realized, no matter who you put in there, folks, what's changed? You know, what has really gotten better for us, whether it's your guy or their guy, it doesn't. It just crawls along, just like I told you with, you know, Harry, you know, bemoaning the fact that there was no affordable health care in 1946.
Mm-hmm. Change. Yeah, it must have been that health care issue that helped Truman defeat Dewey, you know, in spite of the Chicago Tribune headline. That famous photo of Truman smiling as he held up the newspaper with the wrong headline. Yeah, so it was happening even 60 years ago.
But, you know, Derek, they always happen in the wee small hours of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that wasn't a miscount. That wasn't a false projection. Things got done behind the scenes.
Exactly
that,
right.
That election in, what was that, 48?
Yes.
Yeah, and then also with Kennedy in 60. And mm-hmm. 2004, after I already realized what happened, because I was working late night to 2 a.m., I stayed up and I watched stuff change, and I mean, I'm telling you, it always happens, as Frank Sinatra would say, in the wee small hours of the morning.
Yeah. Well, it'll make this upcoming election really interesting to watch. So, let me ask you this, Viz. You've been doing this, you've been doing From the Grassy Knoll, Beyond the Grassy Knoll for several years now. What's the most surprising or disturbing thing that you've learned in the course of your interviews?
Well, all right, the number one thing, truly, is, you know, I mean, finding out who's at the center of this. But this also is something that, you know, made me want to come back to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, and that is because, you know, Eric John Phelps, who I've broken with, and was number five on They Lost Their Brains in 2007,
mm-hmm.
when he did his work, and I heard him on Jeff Renz, I thought he was crazy. When I did the research, I realized he wasn't, and that led to other things, and that is other authors across the centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really realized, one, that this is who is sitting on top of the dung pile, and there is a central thing. The Collins brothers always, you know, give me the business about, well, it's not that simple, it's not that centralized. I believe it is. So that was the first thing, that in fact, we're looking at something supposedly religious that is in fact not. And it's been supported by a number of people in a certain order called the Jesuits that have been at 5 centuries at eviscerating governments, undermining governments, and all for a certain purpose. Now, the second thing is this. I had an inclination afterwards that even the United States, the story about our country and how we had, you know, godlike founding fathers,
mm-hmm.
This was a real experiment in liberty, I started to really doubt that. And then I went and approached the I-Man, not the other way around. And I said to him, would you talk to me about what I suspect might be the case? And he said, yes. And that's the second thing. And that is to realize that the story about the United States is a fairy tale, like what most patriots understand anyway, but somehow they reserve this part of our history book, you know, and films and stuff, this story about all these men getting together, God breathed, to create this country and create the Constitution. That, I would say, along with the other awakening, was very upsetting, but that's okay. I mean, it's upsetting, but if that's the way it is, that's the way it is, and I want to know the truth. And so, yeah, I would tell you, and that's what really led to the beginning of the end of the old show, because, I mean, this is what I wanted to find out. Who did it? Who did it? And once I found out, I mean, I was pretty much, you know, satiated that that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there you go. I mean, the fact that this country was built for nation, the nation building was constructed not for giving anybody liberty or any of this stuff, but just as another market. Remember, we were opened up, we were funded by the Brits as a commercial enterprise, and it never has changed. Everything else has been pretty much the joke is on us, and I know that's rough for people to believe. And I can, well, I'll tell you what, if you went where I went, and you go ahead and take a look at the information that's been suppressed, even from the times when this all happened, which means when the Constitution was used to supplant the Articles of Confederation, then you realize that, hey, man, we're no different than anything else, and the joke is on us, too. So that's it, Derek. Those are the two. And, I mean, I'm okay with that. You know, it doesn't bode well, but at least I got what I came for, and that was who did it and how did it happen.
Then the question is, how do you go on from there? I mean, if you believe that there is and I agree with most of what you say, and you know, I think the points we disagree with are probably not worth spending a lot of time arguing over. And I would argue that it's more than just the Jesuits, that there are also elements within most of the mainline Protestant denominations that are working to direct and corrupt the American public as well. We've done a couple of shows on Dominionism as a heresy, which I think is part and parcel of this. But you say, okay, our secular institutions have been corrupt, and they have been from the beginning. Our religious institutions are corrupt. What's the point then? We might as well just shuffle off this mortal coil now, because there's no way to win. I'm taking the long way around to the question here, which is, how do you get up and face the day, Viz? I mean, for most people facing this kind of information, it would be just too depressing. I mean, what's the point? How do you get up and face the day?
Well, the two things. I mean, for us, we understand that this is not the end of the road. I've not comported myself well as someone who claims to be a Christian, but I do know that he is the truth and that is the way. And we know how this ends on the earth, and we know what goes on afterwards. To me, that's obviously far, far more encouraging to hold on to in these times. Question is, what do you do with folks who don't necessarily want to embrace the biblical breakdown of what is going to happen and don't necessarily, you know, believe in Christianity or in Jesus Christ or whatever, but they do understand the New World Order, and they do understand that this is not a good thing. That's a tough one. And I guess what it comes down to in the end is, if you're on the Titanic, whether you believe in Christ or not, you're on the Titanic. So, I mean, you know, in a sense, it's kind of like, well, there is no way out. Do you want to know the truth, or do you just want to be deluded? And there really are a lot of folks out there who do want to know the truth. And be it, you know, however it falls, and maybe some of them harbor some hope that somebody's going to come in and save this whole deal. They do understand it, and they're at least cool with the fact that, look, okay, you know, I got it right. I understand what it is, and whatever happens, happens. And this is the other thing, too, and that is, and this is, I think, quickly evaporating. You know, understanding what's down the road for both those who see this in a secular life and ourselves, and that is, you know, you still have every day on earth. You wake up every day, and it's a good day. And if anything, it doesn't diminish my enjoyment of all that's out there. It probably has opened my eyes and my ears to embrace even more, because it's going to come a day, you know, when people are going to come and tell you, you know, you're going with me. And that's a loose, obviously, paraphrase from Scripture. And that's one of the things that's always haunted me. You know, there'll come a day when someone will take you by the hand and take you where you don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those days are coming. But, I mean, no matter what, you know, these still are days of our lives, and they're being enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I mean, otherwise, yeah, then just go ahead and take the .357, stick it in your ear, and pull the trigger. what else? But, I mean, there are folks out there who are, I guess, had the character enough to say, look, I want to know the truth. How you fight back, that's a little difficult. But yes, you're right. I mean, I can see them saying, well, what's the sense? That's definitely a factor in all this. But I've just given you the reasons why, you know, for myself and for others, why they would turn around and say, okay, I'm all right with that. And you try to wake up other people, you know, and as Victor Thorne said once upon a time when he had somebody on, the guest said, well, we're playing for a miracle. And, you know, okay, that's it. But, I mean, for myself, you know, I'm not rolling over just because supposedly I'm going to heaven afterwards. Mm-hmm. No, not at all. And I'm not trying to hasten like the dispensationalist, you know, the Lord's coming by, you know, fighting for or instigating, you know, wars. No. I just want to alert as many people as possible to what's going on, and whatever happens, happens.
Mm-hmm.
But if keeping yourself blinded is the way to go, and I certainly can understand that particular behavior, then, yeah, whatever suits you. But that's how I do it. I mean, every day I wake up, you know, and I can do what I'm doing here. Derek, I mean, it's great.
Well, you know, if you're, and that's exactly it. If you're looking for a lifeboat, we know, you know, there's always space for more if you're willing to, you know, take that leap. We've covered a lot of topics I think a lot of people find kind of distressing and depressing over the last 50 minutes. But, you know, this is the day the Lord has made, and there are plenty of things out there in the world that still bring pleasure and joy, and one of which is the return of Major League Baseball, at least for me. Because as the eternally optimistic Chicago Cubs fan, this is the year that it's a weak Central Division. They've got the pieces in place, and we're going to go forward. Any prognostications, predictions for what we're going to see out of Major League Baseball this year? Besides more silliness regarding the steroid issue, we skip over that.
I'm still basking in the in the glow of the NCAA hockey playoffs, which was like a complete, you know, wall-to-wall buffet yesterday. So, but I mean, with baseball, I tell you what, I mean, the Sox are all stacked up in the AL, the Red Sox, and I think that's going to be a tough situation to derail. And in the National League, I tell you what, yeah, I mean, people are talking. In fact, it was a little front page story on Fox about Pinella and the Cubs, and that definitely could be the case. But I tell you what, it's a long, long season. A lot of things happen, and who might be left standing at the end? Yeah, you know, it could be a Cubs-Red Sox thing, but that's all I'm giving as far as the AL. The Yankees have not bought their way out of anything. And in fact, I'm still in mourning because, I mean, do I really care that much? No, but, you know, the next to last two, because Wrigley and Fenway will still exist as the oldest parks, but they're going to move the United States. Listen to this. What am I thinking? They're moving the Yankee Stadium over to the Hudson River shore from the Bronx. And I can't imagine not going to the Yankee Stadium in the Bronx.
Well, and you know, and Wrigley Field may not stand that much longer either. There's word out of Chicago that Sam Zell, the CEO of Tribune Company, is trying to sell Wrigley as well as the Cubs. So, the state of Illinois is trying to buy the park to keep the Cubs there in forever. But perpetuity, is that the word I was looking for?
That's the word.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you, Sharon. But we'll see how well that works out. But
what they're doing though too is, I mean, the everything they're doing is to maximize profits without any care about really any of the spectators and fans. But the fans keep coming back. I mean, you know, would I go to see the Yankees honestly, I don't want to see the Yankees in the stadium unless I got a free pair of tickets anyway. But I mean, you know, whatever they do, they don't care. They're just trying to maximize whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they want to make, it's a paradigm much like the government. They pretend they're in your corner, but what they're doing is just laying in more and more profits for the owners and such. And that's one of the reasons why they can pay the salaries they do, because they would not pay those salaries if we weren't making that kind of money.
Sure.
So, I mean, I'm not feeling sorry for anybody in that slugfest. The big losers, I think, are pretty much the fans.
Yeah, it makes minor league baseball and amateur baseball, high school ball, little league ball, a lot more fun to watch when you're seeing kids out there playing who are doing it because they love the game.
And you know what? Honestly, those who are closer to minor league teams, be they baseball or hockey, It's a great, great package. It's much more cost, obviously effective. And it's a great, I mean, you go to see the game. I mean, I'm not enamored by major league stars. I like the game. Mm-hmm. And whoever's playing the game is okay with me. I just want to see a good game. And, you know, when I used to go to see minor league clubs in the Northeast, I mean, I would never go back. I'd be honest with you, I wouldn't go to Yankee Stadium or Shea because it's like, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody's much more fan facilitous. And, you know, that's all been lost. So, I mean, it's never been a problem for me. Now, down here, obviously, you know, we have, the Devil Rays, which was like, you know, too long a drive to go down to that mausoleum called the Sundome. You know, I mean, here in Florida, I mean, Miami even has an open-air stadium. You know, down here, I mean, we got to go to the Sundome. It's like, oh, this is horrible. There's an ugly rug on the field. Now they're going to try, obviously, to wrest away the shoreline that is Al Lang. Al mm-hmm. Lang's park is now gone, and they're going to try to move that in there. But still in all, I'd rather go see the Florida State League in Lakeland or anywhere else. And the beer's cheaper, Eric.
I mean, that's always a key key consideration when you're looking at when you're deciding where to go for the to watch a game.
And in this time of economic deprivation, there's only one thing to do, and that's go where the beer's cheaper.
That's right. It's just being good stewardship. That's what it is. We just have a couple of minutes left, Viz. Where do you turn for information that you trust? Where do you do your research?
First of all, I always tap in to whatever they're doing on the alphabets because you can pretty much decode where they're going. Two quick examples. One, it's how a grassroots effort has really made a difference, and yet nobody really understands it. Parents are tired of this vaccination stuff and believing that they're not garbage, mm-hmm. and they're starting to stop their kids or from being vaccinated. So what happens on mainstream news, they come out with these great stories about vaccination. So you know when that comes out, something has occurred. That's a great story. Also, with all these creeps that come out about the financial situation and what they say, they're telling you lies. They are reverse barometers. So, yeah, mainstream news is fine with me. I just reverse what they're doing, and I figure out that's where it's at. Seriously, the other thing is, as far as Patriots and stuff like that, no one. I mean, I'm not doing the Wayne Mattson thing, you know, and Newsmax has been colored, and WorldNet mm-hmm. Daily has been a little colored. I don't look at that anymore. And the other thing is, the books of antiquity, the books that were written by those who wanted what is coming, because it tells you exactly how they're going to do it. And when you get into a discussion with folks and you say, well, why don't you take a look at that and tell me what you think? How do you explain that away? That's pretty powerful stuff. So it's actually the works by those folks over across, you know, a century that are telling you what's going to happen, that it's very, very hard for other people to denounce. But as far as Patriot outlet information, no. No, we're not doing that.
Use your powers of discernment and pray for wisdom in these times, especially. But good advice. Basically, take what you see: CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and the networks, and then look where they're telling you not to look. I mean, if they're making a big story, putting up a story as the lead that dominates the news, sucks the oxygen out of the room, something is usually going on someplace else. Visigoth's website, beyondthegrassyknoll.com. He's got a collection of articles that he's written based on his research called The Z Files. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes at PIDradio.com. And look forward to more informative and no-nonsense interviews from you in the months ahead, God willing. Viz, always an education and always a pleasure.
Yeah. Can't say it.
Yeah. Well, always different. I mean, you have a variety of things, you know, from talking about, deception in the 9/11 truth movement to the Mothman, in the span of the same show. So you never know what you get. And baseball. Yeah.
Okay.
Viz, it's always a pleasure and proud to have you on the show today, and we'll do it again.
All right. Thank you very much, Derek.
Visigoth, again, the website, beyondthegrassyknoll.com. Thank you for being with us. We'll be back next week, Sharon, God willing. And in the meanwhile, you can drop us a note at radio@peeringinthedarkness.com, Derek@peeringinthedarkness.com, or Sharon@peeringinthedarkness.com. Any one of those three, it'll get to us, and you can discuss this show or any of the topics we bring up at the forum. You'll find a link to that in the show notes at PIDradio.com. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert. Thanks for listening.
and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.